The trend that I have seen is actually that COVID has changed our relationship with food and potentially for the better. More Australians are shopping more consciously and purposefully, and they're making what they've got go further.
Thanks for tuning into our Roth podcast. We love having you here, and it is our mission to bring you the latest and greatest sustainable tips, skills, and know-how to make you the best that you can be. We know that you've got it in you, and we're going to show you how. Now, let's rough it. Welcome, everybody. Here is Alex from Reducing Our Footprint. We are very privileged to have with us today Annika Stott from OzHarvest. Annika is passionate about tackling food waste from both an environmental and social perspective. She has an extensive expertise in both food waste education and behavioral change. Welcome, Annika.
Hi, Alex, and hello, listeners. It's really a privilege to be here. So thank you for having me today. And Alex, I really love the work that you and your team do at Reducing Our Footprint. So thanks for including OzHarvest and myself in today's conversation.
Oh, thank you very much for joining us today. It's really a privilege. Likewise, I've been following your work for the last few years, and it's incredible what you guys do. And it was also really great to connect with you over the last months and kind of get to know each other a bit better and see where we can collaborate. So yeah, very excited about today's podcast. So I thought we could start just by just tell us a little bit about why you care about food waste and how you kind of started in this journey.
Sure. Well, I have to say that as sustainability strategist at OzHarvest, I care and I think about food and food waste a lot. It preoccupies a significant amount of my time. And interestingly, food preoccupies a significant amount of all of our times. You know, we're making three meals a day, and so much of just, in the preparation for the food and sourcing the food, we spend a lot of time every single day thinking about food, what we're going to eat, and how we dispose of it in the end. So food, as we know, plays such a critical role in our relationship to each other, to our families, to our culture, and to nature. And it really actually does shape the world that we live in. It has the potential to unite us and nourish our bodies and our hearts. And it's really at the heart of everything that we do. So it's absolutely critical that we start to think about the impacts of the industrialized food system on our planet and how much we waste as individuals as we start to look at how we can restore our broken food system. Shockingly, food is one of the most destructive things on our planet today, and some of the biggest issues we face globally, from climate change to workers' rights to public health, stem from how and what we eat. And this is coming at such a significant cost to our planet and also the people that are involved in our food system. And so with all of that in mind, wasting it at the end when it finally does make it into our home is absolutely criminal. So to put this into perspective, globally, we throw away a third of all food that's produced. That's actually six garbage trucks of edible food that's wasted every second. It's huge. And it has an economic cost of $940 billion. And right here in Australia, we're wasting 7.3 million tons of food a year. And that's also costing our economy about $20 billion, if not more. It's not actually the money that makes me personally care about food waste, although I think it's a very good reason to care about it and not to waste it. But for me, it really is the environmental cost, because wasting food wastes everything. Energy, water, land, everything that goes into producing and growing that food. The electricity and power for manufacturing and packaging products, fuel for transportation, and the labor and the love that goes into that whole process. And then when we throw it away, it ends up in landfill and emits methane, which is contributing and fast-tracking climate change. So methane is, for those that don't know, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners do know, but methane is one of the most harmful greenhouse gases. and it's 28 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So the emissions from food waste are actually more than the entire aviation sector. So that, you know, in context, that's why I care about food waste and why I do the work that I do. But more importantly, the reason why I care about food waste is because there's actually hope. It's not one of those really complex environmental debates where it's really tricky and very, very complex. Essentially, at the end of the day, tackling food waste is a quadruple win. So that's environmentally, economically, socially, and morally. So there is no reason why we should have food waste, and especially in the significant volumes that we do in a developed country like Australia. So the reason why there's hope is because a recent report from Project Drawdown, which is a bunch of scientists in the US, I think there's maybe about 70 contributing, or maybe it's even more than that, contributing scientists, as part of Project Drawdown, have identified food waste as the third most impactful way to reverse climate change. The thing that's so important about that is it's the most impactful thing that an individual can do starting today. So that's why I feel really optimistic about the work that we do at OzHarvest, and why I'm so determined to work and spend my time in this field, because it's a dumb problem to have, and there's so many benefits of addressing it.
Yeah, that's great. And when you put it into perspective like this, you know, in terms of the cost, the environmental cost, first of all, but also the economic cost, the social cost as well, right? I mean, this is food that could go to many people also in Australia that, you know, have difficulty maybe accessing food daily, not to speak of people in other countries, you know, the global level. So it just seems like an unnecessary waste.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've really seen that during COVID. So in Australia, there's more than 5 million people that are relying on food relief every single year. Yeah. So that comes, that stats from the Food Bank Hunger Report. But as a result of COVID, we know that that is increasing and will continue to increase as the COVID economic impacts are realised in the coming months and years. And just in the, you know, between March and now, we've actually seen a 47% increase in demand for our food relief services. Right. So it's really shocking. And yeah, we need to, you know, at OzHarvest, we're working at the top of the waste hierarchy, which is focusing on prevention, and for what can't be prevented, we're then focusing on food rescue, taking food to people need. And in our advocacy role, we do sit on a number of steering committees, such as the National Food Waste Steering Committee and the Fight Food Waste CRC, which is really looking at, you know, what needs to happen from an industry perspective and a government perspective so that we can actually achieve our target in Australia of halving food waste by 2030, which is aligned to the UN SDG 12.3, the global target.
Yeah. After listening to, you know, all these, listening to the issue and also like your desire to make a huge impact and change the issue that we're facing today with food waste, I guess, how do you envisage the future? You know, what is a world, I guess, without waste for you, or without hunger? Because you mentioned there's a lot of hope. Like you said, it's something that at the individual level, we can probably trigger and have an impact on. So I don't know, what is your kind of vision? And I guess this might be linked to your work towards halving also food waste by 2030. But yeah, just wanted to hear your perspective on that.
It's a good question. And at OzHarvest, we are, you know, we are conscious of the fact that our vision to create a world free of food waste and without hunger are actually two separate issues, that actually there's a tension between the two, because currently we're collecting the surplus food and we're taking it to people in need. But we recognise that reasons why people don't have enough money to buy food are very different reasons to why food is being wasted. So when we think about, you know, our vision, we realise that we actually have a lot to do, both from the food waste perspective and from a social perspective around equality and equity in our country. But I think really the vision that I have and the vision that we have at OzHarvest is that we are able to create widespread behavior change that actually is about people recalibrating their relationship with food. And in order to do this, in order to really truly connect to the value of food, we actually need to become food citizens. And food citizens is, there are a lot of people that are doing amazing work in this space, and there's nothing particularly scientific or difficult about it. But really, a food citizen is someone who is really informed and deliberate in their actions when it comes to buying, consuming, and managing food and food waste. So a food citizen is something that we can all be. And really the difference is that a food citizen is not just a food consumer, because a consumer implies a really passive role in the food system. So consumers, they just go and buy things or consume things. They don't think about where it comes from or what's gone into growing it or processing it. And it actually removes us from thinking more broadly about the impacts of food on our environment and people in the food system. So by being just a consumer, we're essentially powerless in our actions, and we actually don't care because we're coming at it from an individualistic approach.
Yeah.
But by moving away from being just a consumer to a food citizen, we can actually use our purchasing power to create a really positive change. So when I think about food citizen and how I participate in the food system, I feel a greater sense of responsibility about how food is grown, and I make choices about that, and they don't necessarily have to be choices that are more expensive. It's just actually, you know, looking at a label and or looking at, you know, where the oranges come from. Are they grown in Australia or California? And just making, you know, that simple choice every time I shop. I also make sure that I take care when I buy something. So I look for, is it seasonal? Is it local? And is it organic? I appreciate that not everyone can afford that, but there are lots of really cheap ways to be a food citizen. And I think that there's also a really critical piece of this, which is choosing fresh ingredients rather than processed and packaged products. That it's essentially, you know, going back to the way that our grandparents used to do things. And I have a very close relationship with my grandmother, who's 97, and she lived through the war. And she tells me stories about, you know, growing up in rural country Australia, and when someone would walk through town with a bag of rice, and you'd all get a scoop of rice. And it wasn't wartime rationing; it was post-war. But every morsel and every grain of rice was valued. And I think part of our problem now is that food is really just about convenience, and it's relatively cheap, and it consequently makes it pretty disposable. So back then, food was more expensive, it was more precious, and it didn't have the disposability that we place on it now. But just by being a food citizen, you can really go back to basics. And it means that actually the beautiful benefit of it is that you fall in love with food again, because you taste it again, you appreciate it again, you look at what you have in your fridge and use up what you have. And the beautiful piece about that is that you consequently become more confident in the kitchen, because you might look at the fridge and say, right, you know, I've got this bok choy and some zucchini and some capsicum in the crisper. I'm going to make a meal out of that, instead of going to the supermarket and buying all fresh ingredients to specifically fit the recipe. Just by these small actions that all of us can do and make every single day, we can all become food citizens and start to play a much more positive role in our food system.
Yeah, I really like the concept of food citizen. I like the way you've explained it and the relationship that we can rebuild with food, and not just from consuming the food because of the functional need of eating, so to speak, but really understanding where it's coming from, why we choose and select specific ingredients, what the impact is also of not consuming it, right? So having more of that holistic circular vision and understanding of food. So that's a really, I think, powerful message and concept. I love your example also of your grandmother. It reminds me of my granddad in England. He's been growing vegetables on his garden for the past God knows how many years. He's turning 100 next year.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And he's been about 70% of everything he's ever eaten, so to speak, since he's been growing his vegetables, which is probably about 40 odd years or even longer. 70% is coming from the garden. So, he's basically just got vegetables all year round. And when they're not growing, he freezes them in large amounts, and then we pull them out in winter. And yeah, so it's fantastic, both from an economic perspective, but also from an environmental perspective. And definitely, I think he appreciates the value of growing it and not wasting it, so to speak.
Oh, so much. And also from a health perspective, like I can confidently say that would be contributing to why your grandfather's nearly 100 or is 100. That's amazing. And that's it. Like, we just need to, it's not to overcomplicate it, and it doesn't need to be something that, takes a lot of extra effort. It's just actually, and I appreciate that your grandfather probably has more time than other people. But it is actually just really simple. It's about loving food, and consequently you don't waste it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think health is definitely also an important one, like you mentioned. And I think in the case of my granddad, it's definitely not using, there's no pesticides that he uses, right? And also it keeps him active. So I think these are also very important, like connecting with nature, which could be in the garden, keeping active, growing vegetables and eating healthy. I think all these are contributing factors also for personal health and well-being. So I think, when we talk about food, it's, again, there's so many elements, right, that are important to us and play an important role in our lifestyle linked to food. So we need to rediscover a little bit that, not the convenience.
Absolutely. And look, it's incredible what is coming out at the minute around regenerative agriculture and just that really critical role that our soil plays in our health.
Yeah.
And, the impact of soil for growing food for future generations. And I read a book, I'm currently reading Charles Massey's Call of the Reed Warbler, which is an incredibly powerful book all about regenerative agriculture. And then last night I watched the movie Kiss the Ground. And so I think that, we are starting to see the impacts of our food system and what we've been doing as conventional and traditional farmers for the past 200 years and more. And people are starting to wake up and say, hey, there's got to be a better way that we can manage the land, because this is utterly unsustainable, learning from Indigenous cultures. And really that's also how OzHarvest plays a role in working with different parts of the supply chain, all through our work in reconnecting people to the value of food, whether that's at a household level or whether that's at a retail level. We are just trying to really give a voice to food, so that it does influence everything that's happening in the supply chain, and it will positively impact farmers, because their food won't be wasted. It will be being eaten and respected the way that they intended it to be. It will make financial and economic sense for manufacturers and producers who aren't having to build in economic loss of food waste into their business cases. So yeah, the return on investment for not wasting food is about 14-1. So it's a bloody strong root case for not wasting food from a business perspective. So yeah, I totally agree. It's not complex, but for some reason we're not aligned in the way that we're tackling it. And the conversations that we're having at a government level, everyone sort of acknowledges that it's pretty significant, and we do need to be doing work in this space, and they can see the role that food waste plays in restoring our food system. But unfortunately, at the end of the day, no one's really willing to invest in it. And I think that when you're asking someone to invest in food waste prevention, because it's prevention and you can't see it, and it's very difficult to measure what is being prevented, it does make all of this work a lot more difficult. And just to acknowledge that that's separating it out from the work that OzHarvest is doing in our food rescue arm, because that's very tangible and very visible, what the impact that we deliver back to the community. And so on that, for every dollar donated to OzHarvest, we're able to deliver 2 meals to people in need.
Yeah, most of our listeners, I guess, would know about OzHarvest. I mean, you are very well known across Australia, but maybe you could share with us, Annika, a little bit more what your programs are, because perhaps some of our listeners know one aspect of OzHarvest, but not another. I know we've discussed this in the past, but I think it could be interesting to just understand how OzHarvest contributes to, you know, reducing food waste and, you know, providing food waste also to people.
Sure, absolutely. So OzHarvest is Australia's leading food rescue organisation, and our purpose is to nourish our country, which I think is a really beautiful mission because it can be interpreted in so many different ways. but OzHarvest was founded by Ronnie Khan in 2004, and it began with just a really simple concept, and that was to rescue good food that would otherwise go to waste and deliver it to people in need. When she started OzHarvest in 2004, so 16 years ago, she had absolutely no idea that, you know, the scale of the problem and also the environmental cost. So she thought, you know, she was running an events company at the time. So she thought, right, I'll just do, you know, I'll put the events company on hold for a couple of years. I'll just sort this problem out and then I'll go back to my events industry. No, it didn't work like that. We collect and rescue more than 250 tons of quality surplus food each week. So that's a really significant amount of food that's being collected in our yellow vans, and we're collecting that food from about 3,500 different food donors, including supermarkets, restaurants, cafes, and food outlets. We used to collect from airports and hotels, but we're not collecting so much at the minute, as you can appreciate. But we take that good quality surplus food, and our drivers are all trained to only collect food that they themselves would eat, because we don't want to be a waste disposal company for a supermarket, for example. So it's only edible food that we collect, and we take that food to more than 1,300 different charitable agencies across the country. So we are a national organisation, and we also do have a new piece of innovation called the Food App, so OzHarvest Food App, and that is, we don't want to have more vans on the road. I think we currently have maybe about 70 or 72 vans on the road every single day. It's really critical that we are able to offer that service in metro areas, but we appreciate that we need to find a way that is a bit more lighter touch to still have the impact that we have. So this food app connects food donors and food agencies, or agencies needing food, directly without the yellow van model. So it's like a text message model, essentially.
Perfect.
So that's really, really great. And, you know, it's based on technology that was really successful in the UK. So we're collecting this good quality surplus food, taking it to people in need, but we really know that to create positive change for vulnerable people, we focus a lot on education, and education is one of our key pillars. So under that, we have a program called Nest and Nourish, and they're all about enhancing life skills, increasing connectedness, and improving health, nutrition, and sustainable living. So Nest is run by specialists in nutrition who go out into the communities that we deliver food to and offer a training program around healthy eating, around cooking on a budget. So it's a really beautiful program, and was born out of the fact that we were taking food to agencies and to vulnerable people who didn't actually know what to do with that food. You know, they might get 12 eggplants. They've never seen an eggplant before, so they didn't know what to do with it. So that program was born out of the fact we knew that we had to be providing healthy eating options and skills around healthy eating. And also, we didn't want to be pushing waste onto the agencies that we deliver the food to. So it's all about acknowledging that, you know, every bit of food is valuable. Nourish is the other program that I mentioned before, and that really works. It's an incredible program because it's working with at-risk youth. that often are referred to us from the agencies that we provide food to.
Yeah.
So it's a six-month training program with a certificate from TAFE in hospitality training. And it's a really special program because the young people who come in at the beginning of the 6 months, you know, they've never really completed formal education. They've never had a positive education experience before. And they come into OzHarvest and, you know, they're not expecting much and they've sort of got their hoodies over their head and shuffling in, no eye contact being made. But at the end of the 6 months, these young people, the graduation was actually last week, standing up straight. They've got their shoulders back. They can look you in the eye. And at the graduation ceremony, many of them are grabbing the microphone to acknowledge the work that, you know, that's happened over the last 6 months and how their life is now on a different trajectory. So it's so much more than just hospitality training. And a lot of these young people do either go back to some sort of education or end up working in kitchens. So we help them find employment through our connections at OzHarvest. We also do a lot of engagement with different types of corporates and businesses. Yeah. Something that I'm working on at the minute that I'm really excited about is we're setting up a zero waste consultancy for how we can support businesses actually reduce all streams of waste, looking at how we embed circular economy principles into that. And this is, I guess, because we're now doing the food rescue component and the education component really well. There is a more significant emphasis on sustainability and how we can work with businesses moving forward to create really impactful change. And then other things that we have at OzHarvest, we have Australia's first free supermarket, this is the OzHarvest Market, and it's based on a take what you need, give if you can philosophy. So this makes rescued food available to all and especially those in need. So people can make a donation at the end of their shopping experience, but also they're not, you know, there's no pressure around that. I feel really lucky to work at OzHarvest. We laugh because we feel like we all have yellow blood. We really, really are very proud and very happy to be part of the organization. And for me personally, I think during COVID, I've been really impressed with the leadership of the organization and also just security we've felt around it. Like there have been some pretty difficult conversations that happened at the beginning of COVID, knowing that, you know, we weren't able to have our major fundraising event, which brings in about $3 million into the organization. You know, that was scheduled for late March, so it obviously got cancelled. So, you know, having, you know, being a charity and being a very lean charity, there have been times when it's been felt relatively scary, you know, just from a job security perspective. And also, how do we continue to feed people, more importantly? But I've been really impressed by the way that we've all banded together, the leadership of the organisation, and the way that we've just all really felt that it's so critical to continue our work and to continue to feed people in need. So our drivers, especially at the really scary times of the pandemic, they're on the front line. You know, they're going into supermarkets, rescuing that food, touching that food, and then taking it to people in need who, you know, that there wasn't, it was just a really scary time is what I'm trying to say. But because we all are so passionate about the work we do and we live and breathe it, you know, people were really happy to be exposed in that way, I guess. But so the role that I do at OzHarvest is really focusing on the food waste prevention side. So we want to put ourselves out of business, which I think it's pretty incredible to work for an organisation that actually doesn't want to exist in 5-10 years' time. We acknowledge that we do have a lot of work to do in this space. So, you know, I'm not anticipating that we're going to achieve that anytime soon, but that's what we're working towards. And that's why we've launched Fight Food Waste, which is Australia's first national food waste prevention program. So it's targeted at consumers and all about helping them save food.
Fantastic. It's been a challenging, I think, year for a lot of us now, a lot of businesses, a lot of individuals. So it's wonderful to hear that at OzHarvest, you know, you have a strong culture and the organization is very supportive and you've been able still to progress with your amazing work, because obviously there would have been difficulties there from an exposure perspective, as you mentioned. I've seen a lot of, at least from my personal perspective, it's definitely been a challenging year, but there's also been a lot of positives. I know there's been some positives that have come out of this year as well. So I'm just wondering if you've seen or noticed any new trends, new innovations, maybe something to, maybe some hope as well in terms of, people's maybe mindsets changing. I'm not sure that has come about over the last year, essentially.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think from this pandemic, there has really been some silver linings, and a lot of that I've observed and seen has been in regards to our relationship with food. I don't know if you remember, but at the beginning of the pandemic, when we were spending a lot more time at home, we saw an influx of bread baking and veggie patches coming to life, and many people sharing meals around the dinner table who, may not have always been home or, had the opportunity to connect with their loved ones in that way. So the trend that I have seen is actually that COVID has changed our relationship with food, and potentially for the better. And I'll touch onto that in a second. But from what we've seen anecdotally, and both from a research perspective, is that more Australians are shopping more consciously and purposefully, and they're making what they've got go further. So whether that's checking the fridge and pantry before shopping, or planning meals, writing lists, they're even asking, where does their food come from? And I think the shortages that we saw and the stockpiling made us realise that, there is a really significant supply chain, that when, trade relations with China are impacted, that directly affects us in Australia. So what can we be doing to support industry in Australia so that we're not reliant on really significant large supply chain? So, one thing that's really clear from this pandemic is people are thinking a lot more about food. And when we think about what we want a food citizen to do and to be, that's exactly the. So we're seeing people becoming more experimental in the kitchen, learning new skills, greater confidence in cooking, and, sharing a meal. Whilst this is all really positive, we've got a long way to go before we solve the issue of the 7.3 million tonnes that we waste each year. And I think what we need to do is make sure that we take this silver lining, and we take these learnings, and we make sure that we reinforce them into new food habits that we do daily. It's not often that we have this really critical moment where everybody in the world has time to go, right, this event has happened to every single person, and we now have an opportunity to do something differently as a result of it. So we really need to embed what we've learnt about food and about not wasting food into our everyday lives so that we continue to tackle food waste.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think now it's definitely a good time for that. It's a good time to think about the future. We've, most of us have more time on our hands because maybe we're commuting less. So it's a good time to think about where we can improve, what we can change for the benefit of not just ourselves, but, of also the community and the planet. I guess just narrowing that down, talking more at the individual level, what would you recommend, or if you have any suggestions you can share around, what could be something really impactful that we could do at the individual level starting today, basically?
Yeah, good question. I think, the thing about food waste is there's actually no silver bullet. So there's not just one thing that someone can do that's going to totally tackle the issue, but it is about starting today, starting small, and just doing something. When we think about food waste, and what we know from the research is there's actually about 72 different reasons why people waste food.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty significant. So at OzHarvest, we've worked with some behavioural scientists to really understand what are the most impactful behaviours and how a combination of these behaviours work. And so we wanted to develop a mantra or a bit of a slogan like slip, slop, slap, which I grew up with and, every Aussie kid knows. Unfortunately, food waste is a little bit trickier, but we have a mantra called look, buy, store, cook. So lucky it rhymes, but it's about looking what you have before you go shopping, which is a really critical behavior because we know that food waste actually is just an outcome of all of the behaviors that are to happen sort of further up in pre-purchasing and purchasing food and how you manage it in your home. So looking at what you already have is a really, really critical behavior. And then buy is all about buying only what you need, which is pretty important when we think about the impact of food and food waste on our planet, you know, making sure that we just take what we need and buy what we need when we need it. Storing food correctly is the third one. So whether that's, you know, making sure that you're using your fridge and freezer properly, using airtight containers, beeswax wraps, whatever it is, just making sure that we are storing food correctly so that you're getting the most from it. And then the final one is cook. And that's all about just cooking with what you have, getting confident in the kitchen. You know, sure, it might not be perfect, but using up what you have in the freezer, using up what you have in the fridge, and just getting in there and cooking a meal with, you know, instead of always going to the supermarket and buying all the fresh new ingredients every time you want to make a recipe. So that's look, buy, store, cook. And the other thing is, we acknowledge that there's always going to be some level of waste. Hopefully it's just the inedible food scraps, but get a compost bin and a worm farm. It's pretty beautiful when you're able to, you know, just manage your waste in your home in a way where when you take the red bin out, it's really light and there's nothing to it and it doesn't smell and it's not dripping bin juice. So a worm farm and a compost bin do that. I have both. Unfortunately, there was a really hot day a couple of weeks ago and I wasn't home, so I couldn't save the worms from that 41 degree day. So they didn't fare too well, but they're on the road to recovery. But so I got a compost bin as well. So in summer, we can move the worms into a shadier region and just not give them so much food whilst we crank up the compost bin. So that's really important. We know that about 40% of what goes into our red bin is actually food. Yeah. If we're able to get that out of our bins, not a lot of our councils actually offer FOGO, which is food and organics, garden organics collection services. So for, I think it's about 92% of Australian councils, our food is going to landfill. So yeah, that getting a compost bin and a worm farm, I couldn't stress that enough. And kids love it too. And it's just a, you know, a nice habit to get into. And then really, if you're going to think about what is the most impactful behavior, it's really just buying less. What do I mean by that? It's just buying what you need when you need it. And especially at Christmas time, it's such a wasteful time of the year that if we're able to just buy what we need, we're going to be, you know, on our way to becoming a food citizen.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for, you know, sharing some tips and tricks with our listeners. I'm sure that a lot of them will get a lot out of this and start to implement some of these ideas. I think just to conclude, Annika, how can people, you know, if people want to learn more about Oz Harvest, how can people connect with your organizations? How can people support you?
Yeah, so the best way to do that is to jump onto our website, ozharvest.org, and there's three different ways that you can support what we do, and that's give time, give food, or give money. So there's those three different options. And yeah, I think the other thing that everyone can do to support our cause is become a food citizen, stop wasting food, fall in love with food again, make food the centerpiece at your table. And from that, we'll all start to make not wasting food a social norm.
Great. Thanks very much for sharing your wonderful story with us and information on Oz Harvest and tips. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, thank you for having me. And yeah, I'm so supportive of the amazing work that you do. So I look forward to collaborating in the future.
Great. Same here. Thanks a lot, Annika.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. We hope you enjoyed the talk and got a lot out of it. A big thank you also to our guest speakers. Stay tuned for more sustainable talks and tips. Bye for now.